Well, welcome to the third week of Lent and our sermon series, The Miracles of Jesus, as we roll on towards Easter and the miracle of resurrection. Today's miracle is one most of us are familiar with, the miracle of Jesus calming the sea. The story is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and today we are looking at Mark's gospel. Let's start in Mark 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, if we read the earlier part of the chapter and reread the story in Matthew and Luke, we learn that Jesus had been teaching to a large crowd, so large that the crowd began to press in on him. So he stepped out and again was preaching from the boats. And now that the day was coming to an end, Jesus wants to get away from the crowd and cross over the other side. And as they are crossing, a violent storm comes upon them. This painting that you'll see on the screen is a famous depiction of the storm. But in all reality, it's not that far off. The Sea of Galilee is technically a lake. By total size, it's a tiny fraction of any of the Great Lakes. It is actually less than one-tenth of the Great Salt Lake, or one-tenth of Lake Okeechobee in Florida. So just to give you the size, it's bigger than Caesar's Creek, all right? But it is not a sea. But because of its location and the way the winds can sweep down the mountains and across the sea, it is known to go from relatively quiet to a turbulent squall with crashing waves in a matter of minutes. So as we go back to the scripture, I want us to see some important things. Number one, the disciples were following Jesus' command. Jesus was the one who told them to cross the lake, and they did it in obedience. And in a little bit, we're going to see that there's a difference between obedience and faith. Number two, Jesus was asleep when the storm came. Now, I want you to chew on this. How often in life have things been going wrong and we have thought, where is God in this situation? Has God fallen asleep? Why is the situation going bad around me when I'm trying to be obedient to God? Have you ever been there? I've been there. I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying. Why do I need another crisis? The disciples are facing a tough situation, and there was Jesus sleeping. But you see, what they forgot is that Jesus was with them. Jesus never promised our journey of following him would be easy. In fact, Jesus said we would face trials. Jesus said we would be persecuted. Jesus said the world would hate us for our beliefs. But Jesus also promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus kept that promise when he sent us the Holy Spirit to be God's presence with us. And then number three, I want you to notice, they don't do anything until the storm is about to overwhelm them. Mark 4:38, the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, several of the men were fishermen by trade. They certainly knew the Sea of Galilee and how to operate it. Most, if not all of them, grew up around the Sea of Galilee. And I can only imagine that they're on that boat and Jesus is asleep. And some of the big burly men, as the wind started to kick up and getting a little rough, they said, "Ah, we got this. We've been here before. No big deal." Then as the waves started getting rough, some of them probably hunkered down and got ready. Oh, we've got this. And it wasn't until things got out of hand that they woke up Jesus. And remember, Jesus was there the whole time. Jesus, who had performed incredible miracles before them. This was Jesus, who just minutes before they left was preaching about faith. And yet the disciples let things get out of control before going to Jesus. Are we no different? A lot of us are trying to be obedient. You're here in church today, and you give your offering, and you're helping with missions, and you're doing things, but how many of us take everything to Jesus? How many of us seek God's will at every step of the way? Or are we saying in our lives most of the time, I got this, God. It's okay, I got this. This is an easy part, I got this. And then things start getting a little rough and we say, God, I got this. I think I got this. And then we turn to our prayer as a last resort. Many of us wait until things are way out of control, and then God simply becomes the 911 operator, doesn't he? Oh, this is not right. Oh, this is not good. Oh my gosh, this is really bad. I don't know what to do. Oh, hey God, I'm in big trouble. Can you come rescue me? Can you bail me out again? And my question is, why do we wait so long to take something to God? Why don't we start when the problem's little? Why do we wait until it's overwhelming us that we go to God and ask for his help? And I can tell you one of three reasons why. Number one, we want to be in control, don't we? We as people like to think we can control our own destiny. We're smart enough, we're educated, we're old enough, we're wise enough, we're good enough to handle it, and we want to be in control. Number two reason, we probably already know the answer and don't want to do it. It's like if I go to the doctor complaining about heartburn, I know what she's going to say. Right? She's going to tell me to stop eating and drinking things that are unhealthy. I don't want to get healthy. I want to keep eating junk food. Just give me a pill to make it go away. Sometimes we know if we go to God with something, he will tell us something we don't want to hear. He will ask us to change our behaviors, or he'll ask us to do something we don't want to do. Because it's really easy to pray, hey, God, can you do something about that over there? And God says, sure, you go. We don't want to hear that, do we? God, you fix it. We don't want to be a part of it. And finally, we wait to go to God, and let's be honest. Do we even have the faith that God can or will help? I mean, do we honestly believe that we serve a God who will intervene? Do we have faith that God can and will do something? As we go back to the scriptures in Mark 4, this is verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. When Jesus gets up and rebukes the storm, we see the divine nature of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, and as we learned last week, Jesus is the source of creation, and only Jesus has the power to create, and therefore he has the power to control creation. And in verse 41, we see the disciples seem to be surprised by this. They ask, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." There is no wonder why Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus had spent the whole day teaching about faith, teaching about the kingdom of God. Disciples, by now, they've seen Jesus order a great haul of fishes. They've seen him turn water into wine. They saw him heal people. And despite these miracles, they are still thinking in human terms. They see Jesus just as an extraordinary person, a special human. And while Jesus is 100% human, he is at the same time 100% God. And I think we forget what God is capable of doing through us. Because God can give us wisdom, he can give us strength, he can give us guidance. And yes, God can even work miracles through us. Earlier that day, Jesus told the parable of the mustard seed from Mark 4, verse 30. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, and with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." Through the parable, we see that God can take anything, even the smallest anything, and turn it into something significant. And if you noticed, he said it wasn't about producing more mustard seeds. What did the mustard seeds do? It provided shelter for something else that needed it. Jesus wants us to have such incredible faith that even in the midst of a storm, we can rest. Jesus slept while the disciples had fear. Which shows us there's a difference between just being obedient and having faith. Because we can be obedient to somebody and still be reluctant, right? Have you ever had that boss that says, "Here's what I want you to do," and you go, "Okay, I'll do what you say, but you're not going to like it." We can be obedient and be skeptical, right? "All right, I'm going to go do this, but I don't think it's going to work." But see, we need to be obedient and have faith in God. Because if we don't have faith, then even when we're obedient, when the trials come, when the storms come, when things get hard, we will experience fear and we will fall apart. Do you ever know those people? They're great when things are going well, but you don't want to be around them in a crisis. They fall apart. You see, when we have faith in God, we have peace, we have assurance, we have confidence to know that in all circumstances that we have Jesus with us on the boat. He's with us. And we know that through Jesus, no matter what happens, we have victory. We may not like the situation we're in. We may not get the outcome we want. But in the end, we share in final, eternal victory with Jesus Christ. John and Charles Wesley were the founders of Methodism. There were probably no more obedient people to Christianity on earth at the time than John and Charles Wesley. There's a reason they were called Methodist. Because they were very methodical in everything that they did. From the time they got up to the time that they go to bed. The number of times they read scripture. The number of times they took communion. The number of times they went and visited people in prison. And they did all of the things they should do. And in fact, they even answered the call to leave England and come to America to be missionaries. And on the same boat with them were a whole bunch of other people coming to the new world. Including a group of Moravians, a very devout group of Christians. And on their way over, sure enough, in the middle of the Atlantic comes a great storm. And it is tossing this ship side to side, up and down, about ready to tear the ship apart. And John and Charles Wesley were scared to death. Yet in the bowels of the ship were the Moravians, who had gathered together to sing hymns to God. They were singing hymns of praise. And John said, "What is wrong with you? We are going to die." And the Moravian said, "Well, guess what? If we die today, we are in heaven today. We win. And if we survive the storm, we go to the new world to proclaim God's word to the Native Americans. Either way, we win." And John said, "There's something wrong with my faith." He says, "I'm obedient." He was the son of a minister. He was the grandson of a minister. He had memorized scriptures. He taught scriptures. He was a professor. He was a pastor. He did all of these things. Yet he was scared. He lacked faith. And he found one of the Moravians later in early America. And John's mission went terrible. He made a horrible missionary. And he went to the Moravians and he said, "What do I do?" And he said, "Preach faith until you have it. And then when you have it, keep preaching it." Because John was preaching things that wasn't inside of him. And it wasn't until he went back to England that he experienced the Holy Spirit moved in his heart. And after that, he had faith assurance through the Holy Spirit. He said, "I get it now." And when he went out and preached in England, he preached with an incredible power. And the Methodist movement grew and exploded all over England and spread to America when he finally had faith. His obedience was one thing. He was a mediocre missionary. He wasn't well received. He was actually asked to, "Why don't you go back to England? We'll get somebody else over here." But then he goes to England, experiences true faith through the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, what is your storm? What is overwhelming you? Do you have fear or do you have faith? Are you trying to handle it on your own? Are you letting things get to you? Are you letting things overwhelming you when Jesus is right there on the boat with you? Now, I won't guarantee that he'll make all your troubles go away, because that's not true. But I will guarantee that when you have Jesus awake in your heart, you will have no fear. And in all situations, that no matter what happens, you'll have the assurance of Christ's eternal victory. And in a world of chaos, in a world of division, in a world of our politics, in a world of everything that's going on, a world of tragedy, of floods and earthquakes, a world of cancer, a world of people dying, often we find ourselves hopeless. Often we find ourselves overwhelmed. But you see, what we need is an awakening inside. Because Jesus is with us. And when we need to wake him up and say, "Jesus, come alive in me. Bring me calmness. Bring me peace." And guess what? Through that, God might make you the miracle of calmness and peace that somebody else needs. Because somebody else will come to you and say, "I don't get it. How are you so comfortable in this situation? How are you handling it? Can you even smile today?" And when you say, "It's because I have Jesus," they're going to think, "Maybe I want Jesus." And you might be that friend. You might be that presence. You might be the miracle that they need to hold their hand in their time of crisis, to bring them calm. But time and time again throughout Scripture, God tells us that He has this. Hear these words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. In verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, isn't that something? The miracle of faith. Be still and know that I am God. The miracle of God's presence with us. He didn't say in that psalm that there wouldn't be any trouble. He says, when the trouble comes, I will be with you. The Lord Almighty is with us. Through faith and obedience, God will bring us peace. God will bring us calm. And why not? We have victory as children of God. We have eternal life as followers of Christ. Because whatever happens on this earth will go away, and we will live forever in a new heaven and a new earth and be in the presence of God directly every day. So the question becomes, are you ready for the miracle of leaning on the everlasting arms? There's no reason for us to fear. There's no reason for us to struggle alone. God promised that He would be with us forever. And we together are the body of Christ, which means together we are present for one another. And you have no idea through your phone call, through your visit, through your card, whatever it is, your presence could be a miracle that somebody else needs for that stormy weather that they are going through in life. Anybody here not have storms? We either have them or we're going to have them or we're swimming in the midst of them now. But I promise you, through the love of Jesus Christ and through the love of one another, we can find calm in every storm, and Jesus will carry us through. Let us say a word of prayer and a blessing over the meal that we're about to share. I encourage all of you to stay and share. There's plenty of food back there for everyone to enjoy and lots of fellowship and friendships to be made. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you that we can come together with you. And Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that who through the Holy Spirit is with us on the boat in the middle of every storm. Let us not be a people who wait to call on you, but let us be a people who rely on you every step of the way. And Lord, whenever and wherever possible, let us come together to be the miracle that somebody else needs. Lord, we thank you for the food that has been prepared for us. Lord, add your blessing to our time together. May it be fruitful, loving, and productive. All of this we ask and pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.